Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We've kind of gone over the full spectrum. We've been talking the Bills. We've been talking college football. We've been talking a little bit. I've been teasing Major League Baseball because I really wanted to wait for this conversation with Pat. So we'll do that here in a second. So we've got a lot going on. We've still got Joe Marino coming up next at 1:30 as well. So Bills talk is not completely over. We will do some more Bills talk with Joe coming up next. But let's do the West Hur hotline right now because my man Pat Malacaro, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at PatWGR. He is a pregame, intermission, postgame host here with the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. And of course, the voice, the handsome voice of Pat Malacaro. And I know why I'm having seasonal depression is because I'm not hearing your lovely voice on ESPN 1520. So Pat, first and foremost, how is life without baseball? I imagine, like, for me, COVID really hasn't changed my day-to-day too much. I know that's not usually, like, the normal thing across America. I imagine for you it's quite weird because you've been kind of doing the same thing for years and years now. I imagine you are out of your normal schedule and routine.
Yeah, it is weird. Not living in hotels for weeks at a time and, you know, traveling back and forth has been weird. I guess I'm a little bit different, and I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing things. And as soon as, you know, April rolled around and we really knew that it would be really tough to have a season, I thought AAA maybe had a chance because, like, we're seeing now these alternate site locations, maybe that would be AAA baseball this season. I thought maybe there's some hope, so I'll keep the hope alive. But, you know, it's just one of those things where, you find other things to do. I haven't golfed in years, and I found doing that at least once a week has been a nice relief and release. So it's finding different ways. That's all you can do, I guess.
Yeah, and listen, I've had sort of a, how do I want to put this nicely about Major League Baseball? I thought Major League Baseball was the last to put procedures together, but the first to play. And I always thought that that was going to be the wrong thing to do. And we're going to talk about Rod Manfred throughout this interview for sure. And I don't want to start there, but I do want to start with maybe even how much do the blame, I don't want to put too much on the players, but the players did sign off on all of this and say, yeah, we're comfortable playing under the environment that you're putting us under the restrictions and under everything. So the players, to a certain extent, do have a little blame, I think very small percentage of it, but they agreed to play under these conditions. Having said that, they seem unprepared, Pat.
It is one of those things, and you have to go all the way back to when the sport paused in March, just like every sport did. And you saw in the NHL, even though the NHL put forth a plan that still had to be ratified, but they had a good sense that the bubble idea of two locations was going to work. Certainly the NBA and the players, they've come together, and there's more than just sports issues. We're talking about societal issues that have been discussed, and we're seeing how both leagues have worked together in that respect. So when you look at the prism of those two sports along with baseball, all three of them shut down virtually the same day. I mean, I flew back from Florida the day spring training closed down on March 13th, I think it was. You know, there was no baseball after that. That was a critical time. And I think you have to look at the big picture of where baseball is today and why some of the fans have fallen off over the course of the last couple of years. It all comes together. It starts in the offseason with the Astros and their cheating scandal and the players being granted immunity and not being punished. And we're seeing the implications for that now with Joe Kelly throwing at a player in that. So you have to kind of look at this whole thing together, and it seems like baseball really has not taken a full step in whether it's planning this out with the players, you know, all the other things that go around with it, and there hasn't been that collaborative effort, I think, that you've seen from the other leagues. And you're right. I mean, the players, their responsibility is smaller, but I do think once you decide you're going to play and you've ratified your agreement, you know, you had the opportunity to opt out. We're still seeing players today. Like I believe Lorenzo Cain has opted out. If you're going to stay playing, then you now have the responsibility of not putting yourself in a position to potentially expose yourself to the coronavirus. And that's what we're kind of seeing right now with what happened with the Miami Marlins. The owners certainly have a big responsibility, but the players have to take some of that as well. And if those two sides don't work together, this thing is not going to last more than a week or two.
And that's what it's looking like, Pat, is there's rumors this week that the commissioner basically came out and said, if we can't get this thing under control, we're going to have to call things. And obviously that's nuclear. That's worst case scenario for Major League Baseball. Having said that, though, Pat, it's hard for me. Listen, I think that there have been a lot of failings on the half of Rod Manfred. I think to your point about the whole cheating scandal, that it became, Pat, to me, almost like there was too much, that there were too many teams involved and there are too many facets of who was cheating, how they were cheating. Turns out, you know, the Yankees were more involved, and it just became to the point where it just almost became like today's politics, where it just became exhaustive. There's too much here for the fans to diagnose, understand, and figure out how to react, that we're just becoming tired of it. And I think Major League Baseball is on that fence right now, where they do have to be careful, because the long-term and the longevity and the wealth and the health of this game moving forward relies on the fans. And if you're disenfranchising the fans, which they are doing, you know, that is going to have long-term ramifications for, you know, the collective bargaining agreements in the future. We're talking about profits and revenue. Like, all of those things are going to take a hit. And if you're going to push fans away right now, this is the worst possible time to disenfranchise fans, because this could be a make or break kind of season. You could gain long-term popularity and recognition in a sport right now. You can start a new era of baseball with the people and the eyes that you're going to be getting that you haven't gotten in the past. You're going to have better TV numbers than ever before. And yet, Pat, it still seems like they can't figure out a way to make the sport inclusive, to make the sport fun for people. Like, you mentioned the Joe Kelly thing. Like, come on, Major League Baseball. Like, that's what you're worried about right now, is you're worried about, I get it, you know, should he have gotten a suspension? Sure, he probably should have got a game or two. But like an 8-game suspension in this season with what, it just seems like no matter what they do, Pat, they're not getting anything right.
And I'll add another wrinkle into this conversation too, and you know, before COVID-19, you know, put everything, life on pause, Major League Baseball and the minors, their
right.
agreement where that is set to expire at the end of September. And Major League Baseball, by all reports and all accounts, had put forth a proposal to eliminate 42 teams, you know, in places as close as Batavia, you know, somewhere like Auburn, New York might be in that equation as well. You know, smaller cities where the game is at its grassroots level. And that's what I mean when I mention, you know, taking everything into account in totality, is that the commissioner's office in Major League Baseball seems more, you know, they don't seem as worried about things like that. And, you know, that agreement will expire at the end of September, and we just don't know what that means for the state of minor league baseball going forward. So, you know, you add all this together, and fans were already starting to be turned away by games that take way too long.
Right.
You know, some of the solutions don't seem like they're things that necessarily players are on board with, and when you don't have the players on board, and it's hard to get the fans on your side. So it's a lot going on right now. And, you know, I go back to a conversation I had with Brayden back in May, when it seemed like Major League Baseball and the players were starting to talk a little bit. But then you have players that say, you know, they're not going to take less salary this year. And the owners are talking about how they're not going to be able to financially maybe be able to support a season with no fans. And it's that type of tone deaf, you know, rhetoric that you hear going into, and you mentioned future CBAs. the Major League Baseball and Players Agreement is up after next season. So it's going to be, it's not 5-10 years down the road. We're talking about implications on the game coming up after the 2021 season, where I think that's where players may have had a little bit of, you know, apprehension, because if you dial back salaries this year, next year you potentially go back to normal. But then after that, players could be staring down having to accept the salary cap, because it seems like the owners have the upper hand and have ever since Don Fehr left for the NHL, and the players really are in a tough spot. So the next 2 years are really a critical point, I think, for baseball beyond just the purists that love the game.
Pat Malacaro here on the Wester Hotline. Pat, this is where I think we should get into Rod Manfred and maybe the future, because for me now, my peak MLB, Major League Baseball, just baseball fandom in general, came in 2015. And since then, the game itself, you know, the team I follow has not given me many reasons. The Kansas City Royals haven't given me many reasons, you know, to turn on and get the Major League Baseball package on TV and, like, do all this stuff where I'm going to be an everyday fan of the game because I enjoy watching my team. The team has kind of let me down in their inability to maintain the momentum that they had in 2014 and 2015. They're not spending money to acquire talent. So, like, why would I watch them? And I feel the same way about a lot of teams in Major League Baseball. And that kind of leads me to Rod Manfred in this whole conversation, because for me, a fan who was very much, you know, 5 years ago, this was the peak of their fandom, I think there's a lot of people like me that are apprehensive of allowing myself to sort of dig in and go 100% into baseball right now. There are a lot of people like me, and if they're looking at Rod Manfred saying, this is the guy that I'm going to sort of put up as the guy that ruined baseball for me, like, I got to feel the owners are in a tough spot, because the owners are the true villains here, right? Like, the owners are the ones that had to make the money. They're the ones that put out a quick, really seemingly maybe unprepared plan here to combat issues of breakouts and such like that. Like, the owners and their representation, which is the Commissioner of Baseball, Rod Manfred, they carry a lot of the responsibility here. How does he stay in his position? Like, how does he make it past this year?
I don't have a good answer for you. All I can say is, you look back over the history of the different commissioners and how they've handled different, whether it's scandals, whether it's, you know, the steroid era for Bud Selig, and how he's been able to rehab his image after, you know, all that's gone on in the early 2000s. I mean, Bud Selig is not looked in a bad light necessarily. I mean, you're talking about a guy who led baseball through the expansion era, and, you know, had the steroid issue go through baseball, and he came out the other side okay. So every commissioner has these challenges, and you're going to face that. But, you know, it's pretty tough right now. You know, I guess you look at the other major sports, and it comes down to the owners, and if the money's there at the end of the day, you know, that's the name of the game. That's not just the name in sports. That's you know, life in general that's how businesses survive. So if baseball is going to weather this storm, if Rob Manfred is able to get through this, that's where you're going to see it. If it's, you know, the TV contracts continuing to be extended and the money continue to go up, even in an era where, in an age now where money is going to be tighter for sponsorships, if that is still there, then I think it's easy for the owners to say, all right, let's continue on the path we're on right now. But and that's, I think, one of the reasons why Bud Selig was able to continue on through the 2000s with the regional sports networks and all the money that we've seen teams be able to use for some players in big markets. So that is really the way I think this goes forward. And that goes back to the conversation of teams looking to consolidate other areas. Well, that's how you make up some of that money as well. And that's where some of that, the leadership from up top has come.
I think your point about Bud Selig is super interesting in this, because say what you will, right, Pat, about Bud Selig, is while he managed the future of the league, say what you will about the steroid era, that home run chase, like, and I watched the 30 for 30, it brought back a ton of young memories for me, right? Say what you will. We all know, I mean, for the most part that year, we knew that Mark McGwire was cheating. He was taking performance-enhancing drugs. It was caught in his locker, for God's sakes. That didn't stop any of us from turning the station off our regularly scheduled programming to say, oh, we got to watch Mark McGwire. He's up to bat. Like, we were turning off our, you know, normal Thursday night, you know, whatever, weekly television. We turned off 24, and we turned on, you know, TBS to watch a live in-game, or ESPN, who was switching over to Mark McGwire's at-bat. Say what you will about Bud Selig, and the ramifications, the aftermath of the steroid era was definitely a difficult era to come through, because baseball needed a reckoning, a time of reckoning. And guys, in a lot of cases, didn't fess up, and I think that hurt that era. But what you got to say about Bud Selig is he really ushered in one of the most exciting eras of modern baseball. And whether or not you believe he ruined it, I mean, whatever. But at a certain point here, you said the key term, revenue and money. He made those owners during that era more money than imaginable. And that's really where I start to think that Rod Manfred is walking on thin ice. If they have to cancel the season, even if it is the owner's fault, to save face, you have to get rid of Rod Manfred. Like, you can't have Rod Manfred sit on the pedestal and take all the blame. Because at the end of the day, as much as he is the face of this, it really becomes more on the owner. So that way, I just think, like, the owners have no other choice but to find somebody else, right? Like, they're almost in that position.
Yeah, and you look back, you know, what did Bud Selig inherit back in the late 80s? Now, I was born in the mid-80s, so I can't, you know, firsthand knowledge of it. But looking back on it, he ushered in the expansion era. And that's, you know, we're talking about teams that were not in locations before that. So, yeah, it ultimately comes down to money. And, look, the owners had to invest a lot of money into the testing. And I know that they have a group, I think it's in Utah, where they do all the testing in the minor leagues right now. So they already had the system set up. So in some sense, it wasn't as expensive. But now you're talking about getting tests out and all these different, you know, all the different things that go into trying to put together a 60-game season. And if that has to come to a halt, because, you know, I think this is the big weekend. If the Cardinals, if the spread within the team is contained to just a player, maybe one more, and the coaches that have tested positive already, maybe you can continue on. But if we see what happened with the Marlins last mm-hmm. weekend, happened to the Cardinals, I think this is now you're talking the nightmare scenario. How do you, because then the question becomes, how do you keep this from happening in other teams over the next 2 months? And I think the answer is, it's just not possible if you just cannot catch it right away.
All right, Pat, before I let you go, let's get one NHL thought in here. It starts tonight. Well, it starts today, obviously, but with the Rangers and Carolina Hurricanes currently going on in action right now. What are you expecting from the NHL? It does appear anyways that, like, NHL and the NBA have both, I thought, put together procedures, put together a return-to-play formula that I will think ultimately works. What are you most looking forward to for the NHL restart? And I don't even really want to bring the Sabres into the equation, because it's a big-time disappointment that they're not playing. No one's going to disagree with that at this point, but what are you expecting from the NHL return to hockey?
Well, I'm most interested to see teams like Colorado and Vegas and the teams that had a lot of momentum on their side and were playing really well when the league shut down at the beginning of March. I mean, Vegas to me was maybe the most interesting team from where they started the year, firing the head coach, bringing in a new coach, and seemingly just taking off like a rocket from almost New Year's on. And what they were able to do, will those teams be able to replicate or get back to that level of play that they were at before? Or does the layoff now affect them to the point where they're not able to turn the switch back on, and you're going to see, you know, if there's an upset, you know, if a team like Edmonton moves on to the second round, or Edmonton or Chicago, whichever one of those two moves on, are they able to upset a high seed because they've played a couple harder games, and right. You know, they have something clicking already. So to me, that's the most interesting part. And then, you know, I'm just looking forward to it playing out over the next couple of months for something to just, you know, look forward to and get ready for, hopefully, what is the start of a new season come December.
Yeah, fingers crossed, man. You know, and it sucks for, if you're a Sabres fan, having to wait 10 months to watch your team play hockey. It's a really tough spot to be in, and I know it's got to be an even more difficult position for the players, who I can just imagine how anxious they are to get back to play. Pat, Thanks so much for making time for me today, man. I do really appreciate it. I look forward to getting on the course with you soon. I know Brian and I have been trying to coordinate that. So we'll get you out on the course soon, and looking forward to it, buddy. Thanks for joining me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.